Well, good morning. You guys go ahead and stand, be coming in. I want to tell you that I have had this immense excitement for a couple of weeks. Not that I'm not always excited about Eagles Way, about where things are, about where we are, but I have had this, I was sharing with Penny and Linda and Lynn Langston yesterday, this excitement that I wish I really could just peel back all these layers and let you see what's inside and see what I see and see what's to come. And it's just God's doing an amazing thing in me, in you, in this house. And I literally just see it every single day just spreading out, like pouring out. And it being good. We're about to sing this new song. It's super fast, super different, and it's called Wake. And that is the thing that I feel is just happening in so many of us, that there is just this awakening that's happening. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light." You see, what that means is everything, just our presence, who He is within us, every time we just expose light to where there's darkness, whether it's hurt, whether it's depression, whether it's a real tough situation, whenever we expose that light, whenever that light becomes visible, then that very thing that's hidden in darkness, that is without hope, becomes illuminated. And it says, this is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You see, when we become aware of the light within, and it says, wake up, realize who you are, and then we're able to go out there and not only be light, but illuminate where there's darkness. And it affects every person we're around, every place that we walk into. And that is why I'm excited. And that is why Christ has just so awakened that within me. And I just know that if He hasn't already awakened it within you, that it's stirring and it's about to burst out. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's sing this new super duper fast song.
At break of day, in hope we rise, we speak your name, we lift our eyes. Tune our hearts into your beat. Where we walk, there you'll be. With fire in our eyes, our lives alight. Your love untamed, it's blazing out. The streets will glow forever bright. Your glory's breaking through the night. You will never fade away. Your love is here to stay by my side in my life, shining.
guys awake yet? That wake within you? It's this next song, Jennifer and I think we listened to it for the first time was several months ago, and we both fell in love with it. But more than anything, we both fell in love of the lyrics that just says, what a beautiful, precious, amazing, powerful name. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. And we invite you this morning to worship this beautiful, amazing, powerful name. This being that's within you, that power that resides within you, that light, that love that dwells within you, that is in this house. And we enter into worship with thanksgiving for the beautiful, loving God that we serve.
Now revealed in you our Christ. We love you, Lord. Your name is so beautiful. Your name is so powerful and wonderful. We're so grateful and we are so thankful that you're constantly expanding us.
Yes.
How we see you, how we feel you, how we know you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord.
I just want more. I just want more, more of you, God, more of you, God. I just want more, I just want more, more of you, God, more of you. I pour out all I have, I lay down all I am. Making room for you, Lord, I'm ready to open up my heart, to receive not in part, but the fullness of who you are, Lord, I'm ready. I just want more, I just want more, more. Just one touch.
from your robe steals the weakness from our bones. Oh, I want more of you. I just want more.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me, I will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, well, and through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. The waves and winds still know his name.
Well, with
eyes fixed on you. And through it all, it is well. And through all the things, and through everything, and through all the things, our eyes are fixed on you. They are fixed on you. They are fixed on your promises. They are fixed on you, God. They are fixed on your goodness. They are fixed on your faithfulness. They are fixed on you. We don't look around to our left, to our right, but we keep our eyes on you. We take captive everything, every thought that's not of you, and we put our eyes right back on you, Jesus. We put our eyes right back on your promises, on your faithfulness, on your hope, on your love, on your grace, on your mercy, on your promise that says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but I will go with you to the very end. Just look at me. Just keep your eyes on me and know that you are mine and that you are loved immensely by a rich, unfailing, loving God of compassion. And we fix our eyes on you and we thank you, Father. We thank you for this day. And with the utmost thanksgiving and praise, we say your name is great. And we receive you today. We receive your presence. We receive your word. Amen.
Amen. I hope you got your connection cards inside your bulletins. This Wednesday is our Thanks and Giving meal. We want to make sure that you're signed up for that. And you can drop those in the offering bucket at the end of the service, along with your tithes and your offerings and your alms. God bless.
All right. I feel like every Sunday after they get through, we done. I don't know what I need to do. Ain't God good? I tell you, I know you just sat down. I want you to stand back up with me for a moment. I just want us to bless this world with peace. Bless this world with peace.
Yes.
The angels came and appeared to the shepherds and said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. How many know that's what this world needs? And you can't buy it. And there's two things you can do. Two things about peace. Only two things you can do about peace. One, you can make peace. And that's good, but that's hard. That's hard to do. Or you can keep peace. That's easier. You want to maintain and keep peace more than make peace, because when you've got to make peace, that means there's conflict. You know, as Veterans Weekend, and a lot of people have given their lives for peace. A lot of people have given their lives for a lot of things. But gosh, if we could just get to a world that stays in peace. All conflict ceases, all wars stop. The Bible says one day they will beat their swords into pruning hooks, their spears into plows. There'll be peace. The Prince of Peace will stand one day, and there'll be a great viewing stand, and all the people of the world will walk by it knowing he brought peace. And that's the goal. That's the purpose. Is this whole world be filled with peace? We'll talk about that further, about our hearts, just shortly. But we just, God, today speak peace to a troubled world, to nations that are troubled, to people that are troubled, to hearts that are just broken and torn apart. We speak peace. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Peace. And may we spend our lives, Lord, maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the peace that you give. So we don't have to go and make peace. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I think it was Monday, I was pulled into my driveway, and as soon as I did, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "You didn't finish the message yesterday." And I said, "Well, yeah, I did. That was five principles I talked about, all five." How many know you can't argue with God? Sooner or later, we all got to realize, stop arguing with, you know, Peter makes a big proclamation, and man, he just knocks it out of the ballpark, and Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven." And then almost just in a moment, they turned and walked, and Jesus looks at his disciples, and he says, "I got to go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man's got to suffer, and they're going to kill him, but I'm going to be raised from the dead." And Peter says, "Lord, look, come here. Let me tell you, that's not going to happen." You know, the disciples that argued with him never argued with him after the cross. Jesus looked at Peter, the same Peter, he says, "I'm going to build my church on what you just said." He looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." See, we're always in a battle in our minds. And when you think of Satan, I don't want you to think of a red devil with a pitchfork and perforated tail or whatever. I want you to think of two thoughts, a good thought and a bad thought. See, Satan is your adversary. The Bible says he's an adversary. Your adversary sits right here. Your adversary can come against everything that's good in your life, but we can overcome. Principles, I'm going to share. I just redid my notes. I don't know if I can cipher this or not. I just wrote with different ink in it to try to bring it out. But principles are greater than commandments. I'm going to tell you why. Commandments keep you from suffering. Commandments keep you from doing wrong. Principles bring you into good. Principles cause good things. With every principle, there's a promise. And when you do the principle, you get the promise. Principles are proactive. Commandments are not proactive. They're just not doing something. And that's good, but that's the best is obeying his principles. He says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Adultery may seem tantalizing. It may seem real cool for a while, and it's something new, and you get caught up in it, but it always ends with heartache and broken hearts and broken homes and broken families and hurt children. It always ends bad. Always ends bad. But principles always bring you into good stuff. See, my happiness is not, and I know a lot of people's are because they're not, my happiness is not based on Georgia Bulldogs losing yesterday or winning yesterday. That has nothing to do with my happiness. Blessed is the person who obeys the principles. They're happy. I woke up, I went to bed last night just as happy as I was before that ball game. That's not going to determine me. By any stretch of the imagination, is that going to determine my happiness? Now, for some people, it does. Bless their hearts. Bless your heart if it does. There's something far greater. You know, the Bible says those things are fading glories. That's what they called it. In the Bible, Paul said in sports and athletic stuff, he says there's a crown, but it's a crown of a fading glory. See, once it's over, and it fades away. He said, but there's a glory that never fades away. There's a glory that goes from glory to glory. It never fades away. It's far greater. Principles will bring promises to your life. And principles aren't prejudice. Principles aren't prejudice. They work for everybody all the time. They work for believers. They work for non-believers. Principles do. There are universal laws and principles that work for everybody. Now, I'd rather it work through my Christianity than anything else, but I just want to tell you, it works for everybody. It's not prejudice of anybody. I quoted last week, Les Brown's a motivational speaker, and he says this, "Methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, principles never do." Never change. They've worked for thousands and thousands of years, and they'll continue to work. I worked for a man who had a dealership in Griffin, Georgia years ago, who was not a believer, was not a follower of Christ, never darkened the church doors, but he paid his brother a tithe every single time he sold an automobile. He tithed to his brother who pastored a Baptist church. And he was blessed immensely. Why? He had a principle. Principles are proactive. Principles are proactive. Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's proactive. He didn't say, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's not proactive. He says, whatever you want done to you, do to them. You want them to love you? Love them. You want them to be kind to you? Be kind to them. But see, principles calls for change. Say change. You know, one thing I like about, I don't know if I really have still got ADD or not, probably. I don't know. But anyway, it's worked for me. Because I get bored and I won't change. I won't change. I won't change. I won't change. And I think change is good. I told you the far side I saw last week, and there's this pulpit committee and they're interviewing a pastor. And it's the caption under it says this: we're looking for a pastor who will take us on a journey of transformation, but it won't require us changing anything. I love that. People, that's what they want. They want the principle, but they don't want change. Most people live haphazard lives. Whatever happens to them, they react to. Haphazard means it's a lack of order, it's a lack of plan, it's a lack of direction. Principles have to be, you have to be intentional for principles. There's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. An intention is not a thought about doing something, that's a thought. The road to hell, the road to live in hell, is paved with thoughts. Let me tell you what I believe the difference in the brain and your heart is. Okay, we're going to talk about the heart tomorrow. The difference to me, now there's more than this, but just bear with me. The brain is to keep you from doing stupid things to think about before you do about. Really. A few years ago, Dustin had moved to the farm, and I drove this big U-Haul truck, the biggest one they got, full of furniture, and in the back of it I was pulling a car on this big trailer, and it had rained all night. And we pull in, and Dust is in the cab with me, and I'm going to go out over the field, and my thought was, don't do that. Don't do that. And I said, well, if I just don't stop, just keep on going, it'll be all right. Oh, the further I went, the deeper we went. I mean, I plowed that, it was horrible. Dusty's crying. I said, and I pulled the old card I pull all the time. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's hurt. And we, there's nothing I could do about it. Thank God they had a bulldozer on the farm. Dr. Tackle told Chris, said, Buren needs an MRI on his, he needs an MRI on his head to see if he's got a brain in there or not. And I had to laugh. I laughed about it. I said, he's right. At that moment, I think I'd already needed. Your brain, just think about before you do about. That's what it's for. Your heart is your moral compass. It's to lead you into life and life abundantly. Your heart is everything. Look at Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. Jesus added, he says, and he had just talked. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to his disciples. He said, dude, y'all got it all wrong. It's not what goes into a person. All your food laws don't mean squat. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. He said what goes into a man, and he said it ends up in the sewer. It goes into the stomach, it's processed, and it's done away with. That does not defile you. But he says this is what, it's what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these vile things come from within your heart. That's what defiles you. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, I'm not going to try to define to you. I want to do the greatest commandment. But then you know what? I want to be great at the great. How many know what the greatest commandment is? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Wow. And I'm not going to try to. I don't know how to cipher. I'll be honest. In all these years, I can't cipher this heart, soul, mind. It just gets, I'm just going to keep it simple. I got a brain to think with. I got a heart to love with. It's in here, though, that I live. It's in here that this is what I got to keep clean. Jesus looked one time. He saw this guy named Nathaniel. And he said, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel just all whammed, overwhelmed by that, asked Jesus, how did you know that? He said, I saw you under a tree. That's what Nathaniel wanted. How do you know I'm an Israelite with no guile? And Jesus said, I saw you under a tree. I saw your heart. I saw who you really are. My doorbell rings the other day. I open it, and there's someone I was just totally shocked to see. And he says, I got to talk to you for a moment. I said, sure. He said, I want to apologize to you. The other day, I felt like I attacked you. And I said, man, you didn't attack me. I was fine. I was happy to talk through some issues of life. He says, no. And finally, I said to myself, Fearing, shut up. Accept the man's apology. He's trying to cleanse his heart. His heart said he did. Guess what? He did. If your heart condemns you, the Bible says God is greater than your heart. You're condemning yourself. And so I just shut up, accepted his apology, and he got his heart cleansed. A heart is so, so important. The Bible says, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Only time I know in the Bible flesh is used in a positive way. It says, I'll take that hard, stony heart you got, I'm going to give you a heart transplant. I'm going to take that heart out, and I'm going to give you a new one. He didn't say he's going to renew that heart. Somebody help me preach. He didn't say, I'm going to renew that heart. He said, I'm going to give you a new one. I'm going to take that one out and give you a new one. How many know God can do that? How many know that there is a thing called a born-again experience where somebody is born from above? And I am afraid that some people never have had that really happen in their life, because if you do, you are a changed person. You don't think the same. You don't act the same. You're changed from within. You're transformed because God's given you a brand new heart. Is that good stuff or not? What other good stuff's in here? Oh, something in here. Yeah. And David one day says, I don't want to go to war. I'm going to stay home. And he's up on his balcony. He sees a woman bathing. And he lusts after and brings it in. You know the story, commits adultery, has a husband killed. His heart's contaminated for a long time. He's hurting. Ain't nobody knows it. He's not telling anybody. But inside he's hurting. How many know? A lot of people hurting, you don't know they're hurting. They put on an outward appearance and you not know what's really going on inside. One day a prophet comes to David, looks at him and says, David, there was a man. He had all these sheep, and there was a man who had one little ewe lamb. And this lamb, and the prophet's just going to pour it on him. David's already hurting. The prophet ain't got no, he just pours it on him. This man got all these sheep, and he doesn't take one of his sheep. He goes and gets this man, he's got this one little sheep that eats with him at his table. I don't know how that looked, the little lamb sitting up there at the table, but you know, he says he's eating with him at his table. He really loved that lamb. The man took his only lamb. David flares up, kill that man. That man needs to die. And the prophet said, you're the man. Boy, David's heart was hurting. And then one of the greatest psalms ever written came out of it. And if you want to know what true repentance is, read Psalm 51. Man, David gets awakened. He's pouring his heart out to God. He says, God, I'm just calling on your mercies, Lord. Please blot out this iniquity. Cleanse me and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be clean. And he goes, he created me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Rid me of this blood guiltiness. I can't stand this anymore. Cleanse me and I'll be cleansed. Wash me and I'll be clean. For sacrifices thou dost not desire, but a broken and contrite spirit. That's what you desire. David knew what God really needed was a clean heart. I mean, no, it's all about the heart. Heart. Mark Battison wrote a book called Primal. It says, a quest for the lost soul of Christianity. And then he's got a chapter called The Tribe of the Transplanted. He talks about a new heart that we get. But he was at a thing in Washington, because that's where he pastors, is at the White House, and there was a senator named Bill Frist. He was a former doctor. He had performed it. You know, you probably don't even know one person that's had an actual heart transplant. I only know two people. This man had done 150 heart transplants. 150. Given a person somebody else's heart. Wow. He said, when we do that, everybody in there is waiting for that heart to start pumping, start beating. And he said, there's such anticipation. And he says, and it's still to all of us, he called it a mystery. How that happens. He says, heart transplants are a marvel of modern medicine, but the heart goes way beyond what medicine can explain or understand. It's more than a physical pump. It doesn't just circulate 5,000 quarts of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels day in and day out. The heart has a mind of its own. Studies suggest that the heart secretes its own brain-like hormones and has cellular memory. So a heart transplant isn't just physical, it's metaphysical. Heart transplant recipients don't just receive a new organ, they receive cellular memories. In his book, A Man After His Own Heart, Charles Seibert shares a scientific yet poetic depiction of a heart transplant he observed at New York Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. Not long after, Seibert attended an annual banquet for transplant recipients, and he was deeply moved by their profound appreciation for life. They spoke in reverent tones about the second chance at life they had been given. They humbly acknowledged their responsibility to honor their donors. And many of them talked about new desires that accompanied their new hearts. He concluded that his research is backed up by numerous medical studies that transplant recipients don't just receive a new heart. Along with that new heart, they receive new sensory responses, cravings, and habits. He called this group of heart recipients the tribe of the transplanted. You were given a new heart. When you give your hearts to Christ, Christ, his heart is given to you. And we become a part of the tribe of the transplanted. That new heart gives you a new appreciation for life. You humbly acknowledge your responsibility to honor the donor. And the cellular memories that come with that transplanted heart gives you a whole new sensory responses, cravings, and habits. You literally feel different. Why? Because you feel what Christ feels. And chief among those sanctified emotions is compassion. Your heart begins to break for the things that break the heart of God. And that heart is about what it means to love God with all your heart. Two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart and your mind, your soul, your strength. And love your neighbors, yourself. Hang everything on that. Christianity is so simple, folks. It's so simple. They had so complicated, the Pharisees had so complicated Christianity. So complicated it. And Jesus came, you know, Jesus didn't teach commandments, he taught principles. He taught principles. He said, my kingdom's going to be built on principles. And he gives you the Beatitudes. He says, the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, let me tell you something better. If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you lust after her, you've already in your heart committed adultery. What is he saying? I want to tell you how not to do it. It's coming from inside. An outward act is only an inward emotion, acting out what it's feeling, what it's thinking, what it's doing. Principles will bring you into all sorts of good things in life. Commandments will just keep you from suffering. Thank God. Thank God. Thou shalt not steal. Why? You go to jail. Real simple. Thou shalt not covet. Why? You're going to end there, get envy and strife and jealousy in your heart. You're going to suffer from it. But principle says there's always a promise with a principle. Always. Above all things, keep your heart clean. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the face of the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfectly toward him, that he may do good for them. That's what the scripture says. Not their heart's perfect, but it's perfectly toward him. You see, that's why I believe that when the scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't think that scripture is necessarily saying blessed is the person whose heart is absolutely pure. I think he's saying, blessed is the person whose heart's so pure, he sees his impurities. And he deals with them. Not just his, you know, he doesn't walk around in pride and haughtiness, oh, I'm so pure. No, he sees it. He sees it. How many of you ever see some impurities in your heart? Anybody? Huh? You ever act out something you wish you hadn't acted? You ever said something you wish you hadn't said? I was playing golf a few months ago, and these guys were just walked off the green. They got in the cart, and they sat there forever. And I'm waiting to make my approach shot, and they're about 10 yards off the green, and I'm just sitting there. I got impatient. So I'm going to hit because I'm not aiming at them. I'm aiming at the green. Now, they're only 10 yards to the left. I ain't that good. I'm not that good to know I'm not going to pull it 10 yards to the left. Well, guess what I did? I pulled it 10 yards to the left. Ball came down, hit next to them. And I rattled them, and here they come. And I knew they're coming right to me. And so my first response is, I'm telling you, you should have moved. I sat here for 5 minutes. That was what I wanted to say. And then my heart said, no, don't do that. So here they come. And their cart pulled up next to me and all ruffled and said, just start chewing me out. How about next time you wait until we get away from the green? And I said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And they was like, you can't fight that. You can't. There was no. They had no response. And so what happened? They went away convicted. And I went away blessed. Because why you know they're convicted? Because I asked God to convict them. No. You can still see it's still in my heart a little bit. And quite got it all out yet because I wanted to say something, but I didn't. Anyway, it's good stuff. Jesus said the kingdom was like a man who found a treasure. Watch this. Listen to this. This is good stuff. He sold everything he had and he bought the field. Why did he buy a field that he had already found a treasure in? He already got the treasure. Why go buy the field? If he found that treasure in the field, guess what? There's more treasure in the field. Some people just get what they got and they think that's it. Oh, there's so much more. One man found a pearl of great price. A pearl back then was the most loveliest of all stones, the most cherished of all stones. He said when he found that pearl of great price, he sold everything he had and he bought that pearl. Why did he buy that pearl? It was so lovely because it was going to gain in value. It was going to increase in value. The Christian life is about increase, abundance, better, more. We don't have to sing hyperbole these songs. These songs need to be lived out in our heart. Sometimes I don't like singing songs about me because they're all to Jesus I surrender. Whew. I do like singing about him though. I love singing about him. Sometimes I struggle with, sometimes some words kind of prick my heart. I want to sing though from my heart, don't you? I want to know that when I'm singing, I want more of God. I really want more of God. When I sing, I want to sing these songs from my heart. I want them to be resonating all in my inner being. I want the wonder of life to stay with me. Every day, I want to look at the world like a child looks at the world and see it in wonder, not become so familiar with it. Familiarity only breeds contempt. We've become so familiar with everything, we lose the wonder of a marriage. We lose the wonder of a relationship. We lose the wonder of looking outside and seeing the trees change and they're going to come back. We lose the wonder of just seeing things in all their beauty. It's a glorious world. Don't lose your wonderment of life. Don't lose that. Keep your, above all things, he said, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Out of it flow the issues of life. Wow. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Your heart. Because everything in life comes out of that. All your issues of life, they come out of the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I believe when Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil, that the soil is your heart. And this morning, your heart is in one of four places. It's hard, it's stony, or it's thorny, or it's good. It's hard, it's wayside soil. If you're going to let what everybody else says and thinks be more than what God thinks. He said that's the paths that everybody walks on. Throw the seed though. I believe I throw the seed no matter what heart condition it is, because just maybe this morning your heart is a little hard. Some people have walked on it. But just by hearing this word, maybe that you'll go, whoa, I think I want to dig up this a little bit. I want to plow this up. I don't want that stony heart. I don't want that hard heart. Maybe you've gone so deep your whole life, you just dug the same depth all the time. And that's called stony ground. It's called a hard pan. Talked about this last week. It's a hard pan. And that hard pan means you plow the same depth You keep plowing the same depth in your life, and it develops a hard pan. And that seed, it sprouts and starts to grow, but it doesn't get to the fruit-bearing stage because it can't stand persecution. I read something this week, and I've heard it quoted a lot. What other people say about you is none of your business. You just got to stop letting what other people say and things do bother you. What you say about yourself is what's important. Oh, that's good. What you say about yourself is really important, because what you say about yourself is what it's going to be. What somebody else says is not going to, that has no effect unless I let it have effect, but what I say has everything to do. Then he said there's soil, hearts, that other things just get in the way. He said, deceitfulness of riches get in the way. The lust of other things, the pleasures of life, take over the heart. And he says, that's thorny ground. What was Adam and Eve to do in the garden? They had one thing to do. What was it? Keep the garden, just to keep it. And you know, they didn't have stones and they didn't have thorns because it was the way it ought to be. And he says, all you got to do with this garden is just keep it. That's why keeping it is so important, because you don't have to go pull out stuff. But every now and then, we got to get some stuff out. And this morning, I want you to stand with me. Today is Sacrament of Healing. And I want to give you an opportunity today to come down. And for this Sacrament of Healing, though, and see, we won't know if you come in with a heart condition or not. We may think it's physical. We're just going to pray for you like it's physical. But it could be you come in with a heart issue. You may be coming with a stony heart. Something's in your heart that needs to be gotten out of your heart. That man had not hurt me at all. He had not offended me one iota. But he thought he had, and he had to cleanse his heart. And we were able to share and fellowship after that. We shared other issues. He started telling about what his wife was like. And know what I said? Mine's just like that. Yeah, because it was about doctors. And they were, boy, you just got a hogtie barber and drag it to a doctor, you know. He said, my wife just won't go. I said, I know just how you feel. And then she's getting all over somebody the other day. They better go to the doctor. And I said, wow, that's calling the pot calling the kettle black. Anyway, something in your heart, you need it uprooted. Every now and then, I have a heart issue, Joe. Every now and then, I have to come to my gardener and say, we need to get this out. I got a board meeting here shortly, and we're going to have a great big time, because I'm going to talk about some stuff about next year that I can't wait to share with you. I'm excited about 2018. Been a rough 2017, but I'm excited about 2018. I'm excited about new stuff. Say new. New. Renew. Behold, I'm making all things new. How many know we need a new earth? We need a new world. We need a new heart. New. And this morning, if you got a problem, you got a physical ailment, just come and stand across this front and let us pray for you and ask the gardener of your life, of your soul, to come in and take out anything that needs to be taken out. I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing more satisfying, fulfilling, just to get some stuff out that doesn't need to be there. Would you do that? God bless you as you come to say, Lord, this is what I need. know, I read the other day, and don't know if it was, if this is even true, because it's on Facebook, but it said, there's only one tree that bears more than one kind of fruit. I don't know what that was. But you think about it, apple tree, guess what it bears? Apples. You and I bear a whole lot of different fruit. That's how wonderful our life is. We don't bear just one fruit, we bear a lot of fruit. All kinds of fruits. Is that neat? You're a fruit-bearing tree. I know you've heard this 1,000 times here, and you're going to hear it 1,000 times more. But one of the greatest ways to keep your heart is to be grateful and thankful and appreciative. Let that just every day. You know, if your heart's clean today, oh, how grateful should you be? How grateful should you be? I almost never, pull in my driveway. I don't pause for a moment and thank God for all His blessings in my life. I just thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Always be grateful, thankful, and appreciative. It goes not long ways, it goes always, always.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our morning tithes and offerings, I want to remind you of a couple of things. One is that this Wednesday night is our Thanksgiving meal. We'll transform this room into our Thanksgiving cafe. Ladies or anyone that wants to is bringing the desserts, but we'll have turkey and dressing and green beans and the whole works. It'll be a great time. I think I heard that Pastor Buren is arranging for some door prizes, so you'll be given a ticket when you come in. And if there's anyone here that has anything they'd like to donate for door prizes, I think Pastor Buren would like to talk to you. But that's very good stuff, very things that are happening. 3:00 today, Pastor will be at the park at 6 doing a prayer vigil. It's a community prayer vigil. The word is that if it is raining, next to the karate studio, there's a church, and they'll actually be meeting in there for the prayer, but they're praying, and it's very fitting for what he was saying this morning, praying for peace, peace in our community, peace in the earth. If you have not signed up yet to cook a turkey for the poor and needy on the week of Thanksgiving, it has to be picked up next Sunday here. I give you a turkey. I give you a pan to put it in. You go home, cook it, and bring it back by 3:00 on Tuesday. That's all you got to do. So if you are interested in that, we still need some people to do that. So we would appreciate that. And then if you want to serve Thanksgiving meals on Thanksgiving morning, 10:00 at St. John's Lutheran Church, you just show up. They've got it planned out. You tell them, I want to have 2 stops or I want 5 stops, and they will get it all in one particular area, and it's very simple things to do. And so if you don't know it, Eagles Way Church provides all of the turkeys for that. Now, we don't cook all of the turkeys, but we provide all of the turkeys. So I delivered 95 turkeys the other day for them. And Katie Arrowwood, which is a member of the church, is committed to cooking all of the dressing for this. Now, she did that apart from Eagles Way. But she has done that before from a church where she was in Athens. I think some of the ladies are helping her, but if there is anyone else that is interested in helping her, I'm sure she would take that. You can contact the church office. We'll tell you how to get in touch with her. We also provide all of the apples for this meal. So Eagles Way does a lot to provide 1,800 meals hand-delivered in Griffin and the surrounding counties on Thanksgiving morning. So thank you for your faithfulness in what you do. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we can come and we can receive, but Lord, we can give. Lord, use our tithes, our offerings, our alms for the furtherment of your kingdom, touching people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's sing.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with
you guys have a great week.